you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, and then dive into our community and answer some great questions from our community members. So how was your week, Chris? I guess last 2 weeks, technically, but...
A little slow.
Mm-hmm. Been pretty crazy for me.
Yeah.
Teaching people software is difficult sometimes. But we're getting there. So it's fine. Yeah, just that and getting caught up on anime. We're almost caught up on the current season. We were getting a little behind, and then we had to add another day of anime watching just to get caught up. But I think we're about to the 3-episode point for most all the shows, and then hopefully by next weekend we'll have a good 4 episodes in for the first impressions, and then we can see if some of that fat can be turned off of there, because there's a couple shows that I have zero interest in. We want to make sure that we give everything a shot and an impression for it. So, yeah. That Hypno Mike show. Special. Very special. Yeah. We could talk about some Genshin, but we can probably leave that for later. That way, people that want the anime stuff and not the Genshins can skip the later part. I don't know. I don't know how people were about our discussion about Genshin or not. I don't know if they want to hear us talk about it weekly like we do with Fate Grand Order. So, yeah. We'll just dive into the news that seems important to us. It should be important to you because it's important to us. And get things going. Because we have a lot of stuff this week. Like, a lot of stuff happened over the last couple weeks. So
all the news that we wanted in the previous discussion didn't happen. So, it's all here?
Yeah, I think the only reason the previous discussion was long is because we talked for like 30 minutes about Genshin Impact. So it worked out in the end. I don't know. But no, a lot of exciting news this week. And that's why I said it was very, very cool. I mean, I think technically this last year has been pretty sketchy when it comes to what we're getting anime-wise. There was the fear that a lot of things are going to have to change in order to move forward just because of the pandemic. But I think the things are looking like they should be better next year. I think a lot of this news is for next year, unfortunately, but at least the big news is for next year, but it is what it is. Hopefully things will be better next year, and then we can focus on watching fun shows.
I don't know. I think the entire world is holding their breath right now.
Probably. But yeah, first bit is that Retro Crush has added some new titles to their catalog, or they're going to be adding new titles to their catalog in November. First one we have is Kite Liberator is going to be hitting on November 6th. Go Shogun, The Time Entrangler. Is this Entrangler? It is Entrangler. It's probably weird because it has a weird thing on the E, so it's probably like Autrangler or something like that. That is hitting November
6th. I
don't
see an L in there at all, so...
Etringer. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Yamibo, Darkness, The Hat, and the Travelers of the Books, November 13th. See, Dragon Half is going to hit November 13th. Cyborg 009, The Cyborg Soldier, is hitting November 20th. And then the big one that probably most people are pretty excited about is Kimaguri Orange Road is hitting on November 20th. That includes the original series, the OAV, and the movie. So, pretty big pickup for them. For those that don't know, Retro Crush is basically a free streaming service that you can get apps for on different devices. And, like I said, they're completely free, so you can just watch them. They have ads, of course, to support them, but the next of the free classic anime type services that has tried to make it and survive. So, thankfully, this is a kind of a good sign for them that they're still bringing in new stuff. So, support them if that's something that you are a big fan of, is the classic animes. We always have that argument of why people pirate is because these new streaming services don't have older titles. Well, here you go. Support it.
Probably going to go and watch Kite.
Yeah.
It's one of the shows from my artists, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun show. Very action-packed.
I've watched it before. Just be an excuse to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know
and
if it's
get the... my little bit of support in there.
Yeah. I've been wanting to watch Kimagoda for a long time. I don't remember any of it. and I'd love to watch through it again. I was thinking of picking up the Blu-rays, but they've been pretty pricey, and I haven't really wanted to dump that much money into something. I don't know if it's aged very well. Kind of like the Ranma series. Like, I want to pick up the Ranma series, but they're just kind of pricey, so. Yep, cool news, cool news. And next one we have here is the first promo has been posted for Redo of Healer TV anime adaptation. Of course, that is the one based off the light novel, which is the Kaifuku Jutsushi no Yari Naoshi Sokushi Maho to Skill Copy no Choitsu Heal. So, or Redo of Healer. This is listed as January 2021 premiere, so they're looking for a winter 2021. The Revenge Fantasy Stories follows Keyarga, a healer who is used and tossed around by his fellow adventurers on the assumption that healers cannot fight on their own. However, when he achieves the ultimate healing magic and heals the world itself, he goes back 4 years and to redo his life. Yeah, this is one of those, what are they calling it, the dark isekais or whatever, revenge isekais. So, definitely keep an eye out for that one. I think we've talked about this one before. It's just finally we have a trailer out for it, so you can search out for that and check it out. It looks pretty good. I think the only thing that kind of bothers me is it's already showing derpy faces, and we all know how much Andrew loves his anime derpy faces. Like the main character. I think it's the main character. Looking all stupid and psychotic. I don't know. There's that.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yep. I also say the character designs are kind. Some of them are pretty generic looking. I mean, they're good character designs, but some of them look pretty generic. So hopefully they're not generic characters. Next, a fun show. We'll see. Moving on, we have Kimono Jaihin TV anime is getting a January 10th premiere date. Apparently, the English title is Monster Incidents, and it's based off of a manga by Shao Aimoto. And the studio Aijai Do is going to be doing that. And this one's, the manga starts in a quiet rural village where many domestic animals die unnatural deaths in a strange incident. To resolve the incident, an odd-looking man from Tokyo who gets the name Inugami comes to the town to investigate. In the town, he meets a young boy who has a mysterious air about him called Dorotabo. So, not a very catching synopsis, I'm sorry. I'm just getting nothing from that. It's like, things are dying. Guy shows up to check it out. Curious boy there. I know. We'll see.
The dog god comes to save the day.
Yeah. There you go. So there you go. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. A lot of interesting titles for January. Pretty mixed on this news, but we knew that a second season of Be the Beginning was coming, but we finally got a debut time frame, which is 2021. So at least now we know it's coming next year, I guess. But yeah, Netflix has revealed that the title for the new sequel for Be the Beginning will be the Beginning Succession. And this is kind of semi-spoiler warning because they are giving a plot line for the second season. But after Keith and Koku solve the incidents successfully, the world has regained its composure in the months since then. Keith returns to the RIS to conduct his own investigation, and Koku is living a peaceful life with Yuna. They are visited by Kirisame, who was once supposed to have broken up with Kuro and in death. Was supposed to have broken up with Kuro in death at the Fara Blanca Institute. So, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I'm mixed because I don't remember if I kind of clearly stated it in the review of it, but I wasn't really sure. I'm kind of mixed on the show. It has a lot of really good things going for it. Love a lot of the style and everything in it. It just had kind of some meh points in it. So I'll definitely be checking this one out. But yeah, I'm glad to see that it's getting a sequel and it's going to continue on. That was successful enough. They want to bring more into it. So It was kind of a fear with a lot of the Netflix stuff that a lot of stuff will be kind of one and done's, and they'll kind of move on from them. But yeah, cool stuff. Cool stuff.
They broke up or they separated?
Hmm?
They broke up or they separated. I'm assuming that's a bad translation.
Probably. I don't remember the characters' names, so I can't really tell you one way or another with a lot of that stuff. So, next bit of news, Crunchyroll has announced that they will be streaming the anime film Forgiven in 2021, and they have a YouTube channel, of course, and they have a trailer on their YouTube channel for the Crunchyroll YouTube channel, so if you want to check that out, you can go check it out. But yeah, for those that are big fans of Given, you can check out, you won't have to worry about where it's actually going to be here in the United States. So, at least, I think they have North America, Central America, South America, Europe, Africa, Oceania, and the Middle East. And the Commonwealth of Independent States. So, there you go. Cool. Excited for more Given?
Yeah.
Pretty big news for those that are fans of Hanasaki Iroha like myself. PA Works digital label PA Books has revealed that Hanasaki Iroha will be getting a digital sequel book. This is being written by Toru Fujimoto and titled Hanasaki Iroha Itsuka Saku Basho, or The Place that Blooms Some Days. So, and they said the book is set 7 years after the closure of Kishiso. At the end of the television anime, Ahana, who wants to become Sui Shijima, shows her determination to revive the Hot Springs Inn, leaving her Tokyo life behind again. She reunites with the adult, as an adult, with those she once knew, and meets people who may help to bring Kishiso back to life.
Hmm.
Pretty cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I really do like the kind of after-story type stuff. This is kind of set, 7 years later, which is kind of a jump. Now they're kind of adults. Would hope that this eventually gets an anime adaptation, please. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to be, if it's just a really quick kind of one-shot thing, or if they're going to actually have multiples. But really cool. Really cool to see my girls again. Definitely excited for that. Hopefully somebody over here will... At least if it doesn't get an adaptation, somebody will at least translate it and publish it in the States. That'd be, please, be cool, please. Let's see. Kageki Shoujo manga is to get an anime adaptation in 2021 as well. That is titled Kageki Shoujo, but it'll be based on the Kimiko Saki's manga, Kageki Shoujo Season 0. So it's actually a later manga, not the first manga. The synopsis is like the Takarazuka review, the young women who got to start the Arts Academy Koka Kageki High School play all the parts of musical theater. Be they female or male, Narada Ai is a jaded former idol performing female roles. Her roommate playing male roles is bright-eyed country girl Watanabe Sarasa. From the school to the stage to the rest of their lives, there is no challenge these young women can't face with their passion for performance. So, probably similar to Revue Starlight.
I was wondering.
Yeah. It looks like Pine Jam will be doing this series, so decent studio.
Is the Revue Starlight in Takarazuka?
I don't think so. I think Revue Starlight was an anime original, wasn't it? Wasn't a manga. I guess technically they could have wrote the original anime, but... No, it's Kanata Nakamura was for Revue Starlight.
Right, but where was the town that they were in when they...
Oh, the town?
Or the academy.
Seisho Musical Academy? Okay.
So it
there's not going to be any giraffes, Chris.
No, I was just saying, I wonder if there, how much of a tie-in to each other there was, and it doesn't look like there's much of any tie if there is.
Yeah. I think the only tie is going to be that they're doing Revue play kind of stage stuff, so.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, check that out. If you enjoyed Revue Starlet, you'll probably want to be looking out for that. Just, again, don't expect giraffes, Wakati Must.
Nope, no giraffes.
Fate Grand Order, Epic of Remnant Woman of Agartha manga is entering its final stage, as announced by the mangaka Hideo Takanaka. As well as some other ones ending is Kumiko Suikane's Versailles of the Dead manga is ending with its fifth manga. And Yoshitaka Ushiki's Dream Eater Mary manga is ending November with its 24th volume. And I think we talked about the fact that Dream Eater Mary was getting to its ending, so I need to find that one. I need to find if anybody is publishing that. Do you know?
Not that I know of. I think we actually mentioned it a couple of months
ago. Yeah, we talked about it coming to its ending. And I was probably back then wondering if anybody had it back then. And I don't know if I found anybody. Yeah, it doesn't have anybody listed as a publisher on the Wikipedia page. Yeah. That's a bummer. I might have to read it in ways that I don't want to have to read it, but if nobody's got it publishing, then... And at this point, from this far into it, nobody has it. Go back to
the screen you were just on.
Going back to page I was just on.
Hit that buy from...
Hitting the buy from...
Unavailable.
Just the Japanese version. So, yeah. Bummer. If anybody knows that if somebody has it, then let me know, but I don't think anybody does.
I know that some stuff does pop up on Amazon from here and there. They toss it on their Kindle app, so.
Yeah. If you guys are a fan of any of those, be excited for their conclusion, I guess. Like I said, I always enjoy the fact there's an actual conclusion to things. Sometimes I get a little uneasy getting into a series when I don't even know if they're going to have some kind of conclusion to it, and it's just going to keep pumping manga volumes every 2 years, like some certain other mangaka from a certain series, Berserk. Yeah. All right, some news for the PS5 buyers, all two of you that managed to get a PS5 because the scalpers botted the crap out of that whole botched pre-order sales. Crunchyroll, Netflix, YouTube, and Funimation will all be having apps available to them at launch for the PS5. So, cool stuff. Also, Disney Plus. I know a ton of people have that. Amazon Prime and Hulu is getting one later. But yeah, that's cool. It's all you fans there. You don't have to worry about that too much. Let's see, Clamp, fans of Clamp, their series Tokyo Babylon manga is getting an anime adaptation that's going to be done by Gohans. So hopefully Gohans will chill out a little bit.
Doesn't look like it. It's already started.
No, I'm not seeing crazy psychotic panning of camera angles like there.
I see lens flares everywhere.
I'm perfectly fine with that kind of stuff. I've been
complaining about it since.
I mean, I don't mind, you know, that fluidity of kind of motion of the camera, but they were just getting a little bit too crazy. Like literally, I think that half the show was just a camera spinning around characters. But no, I love the flares and the special effects they put into it. Just chill on the camera panning. That's fine. See, that's panning, but it's not too bad.
I think that what it is that bothers me so much, because I love their artwork. I really do. I love their animation. I think what bothers me the most is the lens flares. It tends to oversaturate everything. And so it just looks like I don't know how to better describe it. It looks like it's over. There's too much of of certain colors, and so it doesn't look right to me.
Weren't a fan of the new Star Trek, were you?
No.
It's going to be titled Tokyo Babylon 2021.
I liked the actors doing the parts, but no. The lens flares didn't much care for it.
Yeah. Like I said, there's a trailer available for it, so you guys can check that out if you can search for it. The synopsis they have for it is, it's 1991, the last day of Japan's bubble economy, and money and elegance run through the streets. So do the current currents of darkness beneath them, nourishing evil spirits that only the art of Onmyoji, Japan's legendary occultists, can combat. The two most powerful Onmyoji are in the unlikely guise of a handsome young veterinarian, Saishiro, and the teenage heir to the ancient Sumeragi clan, Subaru. So, I don't think we've ever had a main character who is a veterinarian. That's new. That's a new one for me. I don't know that veterinarians are very successful in Japan, just because
there can't
and be. It always seems like there's like this big boon against having pets and apartments and stuff. At least from my perspective of watching anime, I did not say that is I'm not stating that is fact. So excited! Besides the fact that it's Clamp or Gohan's,
yeah,
okay.
I like Clamp and I like Gohan's per se. So
per se, yeah. I think it is funny because I think my perspective on Gohan's is really kind of clouded by the fact that I just loved the original K series. Wasn't too much of a fan of the second season, but I really loved the original K series and really did enjoy MARDOK Scramble. It's just they've had a lot of their recent offerings have not been good at all. Handshakers and those are sequel for Handshakers. They need to get back to the basics. Back to the basics. And I think that's what they're doing here because they have a lot of pretty boys. Mm-hmm. Back to the basics of pretty boys, then you'll be fine. And if they team up with Clamp, I'm sure that'll be an awesome story. So I'm sure Clamp won't allow them to do anything bad with their stuff. So there you go. The official Twitter account for the series has announced that Kaguya-sama Love is War is getting a third season and an OVA. The OVA is set to launch in 2021, but I don't believe we have. Oh yeah, the second season will be premiering in April. So 2021 for the OVA and the new. Never mind. That's the second season. So we have no date for the third season. So be excited for that. Excited?
Oh, definitely.
More Kaguya-sama Love is War. And I think we mentioned the review of that one. It's kind of like one of those series that every time, you know, more comes up, you're thinking it's going to get old eventually, isn't it? It never does. It's like a formula that should get old, but it never does. They just keep pulling off greatness every single episode. So, except for the, like we mentioned, we weren't too sure about him getting kind of serious with what's-his-face's backstory and his.
I wonder if those were just one-off. I think those were probably just one-off things.
Yeah, because it didn't fit the tone of the entire show whatsoever. So, I don't know.
They may do it a couple more times for other characters, but I doubt that they'll.
Could. But yeah, that's super exciting. Definitely looking forward to that. Also, some other good news is Kimi ga Nozomu Ian, a visual novel, is getting an English version. And this was announced by MuvLove franchise staff during a live stream. They stated that they were going to get an English adaptation of that one. And they were also said that the game is also getting a manga adaptation. So
I don't know if I should be highly, highly suspect of this game in any way, shape, or form. I probably will not want to touch it with a 20-foot pole. Just saying. Anything having to do with MuvLove, I'm a little bit suspect of.
It was a pretty tragic story, but I want to say that I really liked the anime. I think I liked it.
I'm scared of it. Just from the term MuvLove.
There's no mechas in it. Don't worry.
Okay, is there freckle girls getting murdered?
No, not technically.
So somebody cute is getting murdered.
No, she doesn't have freckles.
Somebody cute is getting murdered.
No, murder's not a right word. Yeah, it's a pretty.
It's dark.
It's like one of those. It's life. Life happens kind of stories, if I remember correctly. I'm seeing confirmation in the synopsis that's written here, and I don't want to read the synopsis because I think it's technically a spoiler, so I'm not going to read it. So yeah, like I said, I think I liked it. So check that out. Check it out if you want. Man, 2003 was the anime. It's back there. Yeah. And it was titled Rumble Hearts over here. So you know how to find it. But yeah, that's cool. It's cool to see I think it's been like that for quite a few years now, as all these companies are finally realizing, hey, if we actually get this stuff subtitled or at least translated, then people over in the West will actually buy it. So,
well, this is Rumble Hearts.
Yeah.
Huh. And here I was thinking about going and watching that.
Okay. You can still watch it. Let's see here. Find my spot here. Mages has announced that they will be developing a Steins Gate Zero Elite game. And they have revealed that they will be working on a new Steins Science Adventure project. And they specifically said that it is not Steins Gate. So, don't expect more Steins Gate. Just expect Steins semicolon random word, as they always do with their random word, semicolon, random word titles. But no, that's cool. I think I've enjoyed the two installments of Steins Gate. I have not touched any of the actual visual novels for any of them, but I've always enjoyed their work, so it's good to see more stuff coming out of their gates. Excited?
A little bit.
The official site for World Witches franchise revealed that artwork for World Witches Hashin Shimasu TV anime, the visual highlights the uniting of 501st Joint Fighter Wing from Strike Witches and the 502nd Joint Fighter Wing from Brave Witches, and they have slated to air on 2021. They also said they were going to be taking a similar approach to the 501st Joint Fighter Wing Takeoff series, which focused on the daily humorous life of the cast when not in battle. So, unfortunate. As long as it doesn't turn out like that dang short. And that wasn't the short, was it? Takeoff wasn't that crappy short, was it?
I don't know.
Was it on Funimation or was it on Crunchyroll?
Crunchyroll, I think.
No! 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 Is it the same studio? Oh, man. Like, I'm fine with them taking that model. It's just that show looked so terrible bad. Like, that was one of the few cases where I just couldn't get over the animation. It was just ruining it. It's like, it was taking these characters I love so much, and it just was butchering their visuals. Aka F? Is that the studio? Like, how many people have their hands in animating this? I was actually excited for this for a little bit. Yeah, they're using the same studio, too. Please, stop killing... And it's like, is it because it was still successful? Because the fans still supported the crap out of it? That makes me very upset. I don't even know if I'm going to touch that. Well, if you enjoyed 501st Joint Fighter Wing Takeoff, I'm sure you don't mind. So there's somebody out there that's probably going to enjoy it. I love the franchise, but I did not like that at all. It really upset me. Like, really made me angry. So I will probably avoid it once I confirm that it's the same studio when it's coming out. Hopefully they'll change the studio. Doubt it, though. Let's get back to some good news. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Mage.
Yeah, that went downhill real fast, so.
It was like excitement. This is doing this in the studio. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid manga is getting a spinoff. Did I say spinoff? I'm really angry, so I'm just saying random angry words. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid manga is getting a spinoff that focuses on Fafnir. This title is going to be launching on November 25th, so Fafnir was fun.
Yeah, I think that was one of the silly fun.
Yeah.
But then again, everything about that show was silly and fun, so.
Yeah, I think I think any character in that show, I think, can get its own spinoff, and it'd be a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, one in particular would probably be a little bit scary to have done.
Yes.
And as much as I
really raunchy stuff,
yeah. As much as I really, really, and I may be thinking of a different character than you.
The one that's with the little boy.
Well, I was actually thinking the other one, the one with the Sundetta. And as much as I would love to have
that, she was my favorite.
I would love to have that one, and I loved that particular...
It literally felt like she had her own story, because every time it cut to her, she was just alone somewhere, just being an office worker and trying to get food and stuff.
Again, not the same character we're talking about.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Lolly and the Sundetta Lolly.
That's boring.
No, they were a lot of fun, but they're the ones
they were literally half the show. They don't really need their own manga. half the show is Kobayashi and the dragon, and then the other half is basically the two little girls at school. And then, like, every now and then it's like, oh, yeah, here's Fafnir, by the way. Oh, yeah, here's the office worker girl, by the way. Oh, yeah, and here's the girl that's molesting the poor little boy.
Who was that? Quetzalcoatl?
Yeah, Quetzalcoatl, yeah. It's like they all have, like, very recognizable names, which I can't remember any of them. Sad. Yeah, that'll be fun. I think Fafnir's would technically be the one that would be so kind of out of the norm that I think it would be technically the most deserving of having its own series. So good on Fafnir. And
oh, apparently they already have Kana's daily life.
Yeah, there you go.
And then Elma's office lady duty. So it looks like they've already all gotten their own.
Which, sad as we probably talked about at some point, we've just forgotten already.
Yeah.
Just how it is. That's how it is. Are you excited? Etatama is getting a new anime, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Did you already read the other part about it?
No, all I seen is characters I love, so.
Oh. It's just a one episode short.
Oh, you suck. Why did you even bring this to me?
Just to throw.
I hate you.
Just to throw some excitement at you and then pull the rug out from under you?
You totally did.
But yeah, they on the official website for Etatama, they announced that they will be doing a new anime, and it's going to be a one episode short, so yay. And I guess it's one of those things where you kind of wonder, is it just they're going to advertise, are they advertising a district or something like that? The hope is, I guess, is that they may be testing the waters to see if, you know, a lot of people want it. But yeah, in the announcement, the staff said that they want to deliver a fun and lively work befitting of Etatama. So, I guess if you can find any way to support as possible, do that and show them that you want more. So, it was definitely a unique show, so wouldn't mind to see more of it. And not that it was my favorite show of all time at all. I did love the character designs and stuff, though, so... fans of World Trigger, the official website for World Trigger, has announced that the new season is going to be premiering on January 9th. So we finally got a date for that new series. So look forward to that. Sentai Filmworks has announced that they have licensed the Killing Bites anime. So they finally, over in the out of Japan, we can finally get the uncensored version of it and everything. This includes home video rights and digital distribution rights for the U.S., Canada, and U.K., Ireland, and Mexico.
Canada?
Yes, the Canada. So cool stuff there. Maybe eventually they'll get a second season. And we can finally see what was up with that whole ending scene that kind of just dropped on everybody's lap. Yeah. Excited for that. I'm glad Sentai Filmworks got it, of any company, I think, Sentai Film. Because it wasn't that on, we watched it on Amazon Prime, wasn't it?
I think it was another one of those ones
we thought were going to die on Amazon. Yeah, it was on Amazon. I'm remembering the picture on their site. I think we're running out of shows that have been dead on there. Except for,
our Shogun Roku.
No, Shogun Roku was Crunchyroll.
Well, either way, somebody's not putting it out.
Onihei. I think Onihei is the only one that has not been picked up. Vinland Saga? I don't think Vinland Saga got picked up either. Vinland Saga.
I'm sorry. I'm still mad about Shogun Roku. I want Shogun Roku. Will you please release Shogun Roku? I've waited patiently for 4 years.
It does make me wonder if Amazon ends up picking up some kind of... and it makes sense that they would. That Amazon is picking up the home distribution rights at the same time they do the streaming rights. That way they can prevent other companies from buying the distribution and then selling it while they're trying to air it. So it's probably why we don't see immediately. Like Kokoku is another one. I don't think anybody picks up Kokoku yet. But I think they're picking up all this stuff and they're grabbing both licenses, streaming them. And then I think the reason why we're seeing companies now picking up things like Killing Bytes is that those licenses are probably finally coming up. So good on Sentai Filmworks. Hey, Sentai Filmworks, if you can, go over there and get Onihei and Kokoku and all those other ones as well. It'd be fine. Of course, I don't know how popular those ended up being. Unfortunately, probably less popular due to the fact they were on Amazon Prime and nobody wanted to get Amazon Prime, so there is that. Let's see. Kadokawa streamed a teaser for a new project titled This Is It. Seisaku Shinko Shinonome Jiro, or This Is It Production Assistant Jiro Shinonome. The teaser features dialogue over a still featuring protagonist Jiro Shinonome, a jobless guy who will soon work on his older brother's anime production as a production assistant, and Jiro's friend Inori Amamitsuki, an anime fan who encourages Jiro. So, pretty cool. Hopefully another something similar to something like Shirobako that we can enjoy watching. I think it's going to be more taking a look at, you know, this particular character who seems younger and his probably possible love interest in going into the job force, but always looking forward to it. Literally, it's just a still.
Oh, wow.
Just telling
it
you.
It looked like it.
That's
it
why I didn't like click it. On it. I always click on it whenever there's something to see. It literally
I
is
see
just,
a play button. I'm
it
trying.
It literally to... is. Okay, I'm sorry. It does change one frame to this. Sorry. There is one change. Yeah, that's, sounds interesting, though. It's, I think it's an original. It should be original. I don't think there's any source material, so. Yuichiro Momose, who is the concept writer for Hypnosis Mike franchise, character and setting, is pinning the script for the project. That doesn't give me much hope, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Watch him start breaking into random mic or please. Rap battles.
Or the anime they're making is going to be Hypnosis Mike. Mm-hmm. Manga creator Sekihiko Inoue, who did Comic Party and Murder Princess, is drawing the illustrations in the videos. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully their first time really hitting something like this will be a home runner. We're not saying that it's gonna be bad just because it's Hypnosis Mike Rider. So cool stuff. Let's see here. Got a lot of news came out of Netflix over the last week, so get ready for pretty much the next five things to be theirs. maybe more like eight. First thing, Netflix announced a business alliance with Studio Naz, Science Saru, MAPPA, and South Korean Studio Mirror. For those who don't know, Studio Mirror is apparently they did the Legend of Korra and the Voltron Legacy Defender, a Legendary Defender, sorry. So, yeah. Naz has been through, has not always turned out the best stuff, but I think they're getting better. I think It Invaded was definitely one of their... was the recent one that definitely did step it up a lot. That show did look really good. Science Saru, of course, has been a huge hit like recently with Keep Your Hands Off Izokin and Japan Sinks and all that kind of stuff. MAPPA, of course, we've always loved MAPPA. So that's a lot of really big studios they're doing partnerships with. Of course, they recently, before this, did partnerships with Production IG, Wit Studio, and Bones, so... Looks like this is going to be their next kind of step in finding new talent and seeing what those studios can do. So, interesting.
That's an interesting move. More than likely will lock them in, and that kind of sucks in a way.
It doesn't lock them in. All those other studios did stuff when they were working with Netflix before.
Right, but Netflix is going to get first dibs on everything. That comes out of those, which is good for them.
Well, that depends on what the alliance that they're talking about. And from what I understand, this is more of a thing where they work with those companies to make anime, so if they are doing a partnership with them and putting their money out there, then they technically have all the rights to have those on their platform. I mean, there would be no reason for them to do any kind of partnership and putting money into it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's good for them. I'm not bashing the idea. I'm just saying that's in a way that sucks, because that means Netflix is going to pick up most everything that they have.
Just whatever they put money into. But yeah.
We'll see how things work out in the future. I mean, that's just something that I'm seeing.
But you do understand that if NAS themselves does another show that they are not involved with Netflix with, they don't have to give it to Netflix. That's what I'm saying. Because like with Studio and Bones, they all did other shows besides Great Pretender and Carol and Tuesday and Dragon Pilot and all those. Well, they were not on Netflix.
The way I'm looking at it is this. They have not announced a partnership with them before. Now they're announcing a partnership. So what is the point? I mean, they've worked with them before, so what's the point in announcing a partnership if it doesn't mean that they're probably kind of locked into all their stuff?
Because they announced their partnership with Bones and Witch Studio and Production IG, and those studios were not locked into Netflix before.
Okay.
It was only the shows that they did with Netflix that they... Yeah, Great Pretender had to go to Netflix because Netflix paid into it. But no, what I'm really curious about in this is NAS. Because we always talk about the fact that when we're doing our previews, especially, when we're talking about these shows, we're going, okay, this show's coming. Oh, it's this studio. This studio hasn't really done that much, or their previous offerings didn't look that good. They had a lot of production issues. We always kind of mention the fact that, well, it also has to kind of do with the fact of how much money is put into it. Some studios can pull off things better than others with lower budgets by hiding it better. But what I'm really curious to see is, we've always kind of heard the talks about Netflix coming in with the briefcase of money and saying, do what you want to do, you know, give us an amazing title to throw on our platform. And I'm really curious, and that we're not sure if that is still happening. Netflix could probably come into these studios, and they're sitting there waiting, going, here comes Netflix. They're going to have that big briefcase, and it's going to be, yeah, we used to do that, but we're only doing this now. But I am really curious to see if Netflix does kind of give NAS a lot of money on a new title, if we can finally see the caliber of NAS. Because like I said, ID Invaded looked really good. I mean, I still seen the rough edges here and there, but it looked really good for that studio. And they had a really good director behind that particular show, so I'm assuming they got a little more than usual. But they are a studio that has not always done insane stuff, so I'm excited to see, you know, the caliber of them when they actually have a good budget going. I mean, we could assume there's still a good budget with that, so. I'm sure Science Sorrow will still be Science Sorrow. And I'm sure MAPPA will still always be MAPPA, so. Yeah, exciting stuff. I'm excited for it. And then usually with these particular titles, they're... I mean, besides, like, Great Pretender, they still had a very long delay. Carol and Tuesday had a delay as well, so I'm guessing these are technically the ones that they're highlighting here that still had those delays. I more like the fact that whenever Netflix has something that it's, like, simultaneously worldwide launch, those are a little bit more easier to stomach, even though I don't really particularly still care for the idea of, you know, all the episodes dumping at once and having to binge it. Come on, Netflix. just stop so we can stop having this argument. Stop so we don't have this argument anymore.
That's really all it is.
I'm just tired of the argument. We're just tired. We still hate the delays.
That's really what it is.
This is our next title here. Our next article here is Netflix is finally going to stream the second season of Great Pretender for the rest of the world on November 25th. We've been waiting for literally, 4 months now for this second batch.
That is really where the root of what my frustration with it. I mean, even if what Andrew said is true, I'm happy. That's fine. But the root of it is I don't like the fact that I have to wait until the end of the season to watch the entire thing all at one time. I don't have time to – we're already arguing about whether or not we have time to watch the entire season that's out right now And there's one more thing that we're going to have to wait until the end of the season.
And now we have Great Pretender dropping in the middle of this really busy season. It's like, I would have loved to watch this literally last month when there was very little to watch. instead, you're dropping Great Pretender in the middle of a season that has literally like 45 shows in it. Thanks, Netflix. I really want to watch Great Pretender, though. But yeah, that's the next article, or the next news, is that Netflix is set to stream the second season of Great Pretender outside Japan on November 25th. It's technically not the second season, it's just the second half of it, because it's 15th through 23rd episode. They've already had the 1st through the 14th on Netflix already. I've watched a couple of episodes of it already. It looks really fun. So I definitely am looking forward to having the whole thing available to actually watch, because I hate this kind of piecemealing they do sometimes. So, yeah. Have you looked at anything about Great Pretender yet?
Mm-mm.
Just my gushing? Just that? All right. Then we have a slew of new shows they've kind of announced. Some old, though. But Vampire and the Guardian, they announced that one. They showed off a couple stills of it. Set to debut in 2021 on Netflix. It's being done by Studio Wit Studio. It's going to be an original anime. Apparently, Ryotaro Makihara is going to be directing it, and they did work on Empire of Corpses and Howl. The anime tells the story of two girls, Momo and Fine, from different backgrounds, who meet by chance, a story about an unlikely friendship between human and vampire race that intertwine with the power of music. Apparently there's more. And once upon a time, there was the other part of it they have here is, it looks like more like a quote. Once upon a time, there was a world where vampires and humans lived together in paradise. This is the story of a young girl, Momo, and the vampire queen, Fine, who travel in search of paradise. But the only thing different there is paradise.
I don't think we were supposed to know that Fine was a queen.
Is that what it said?
Yep.
Does that matter?
Probably not, but I'm sure that
it's like it's a vampire.
Well, the entire
it's
synopsis.
Okay to know that this character's a vampire. It's a queen. Oh my gosh! How did you tell me that?
Well, no. My point is they didn't put that in the entire synopsis. It did point out that they were from very different backgrounds, and then in this thing right here, I mean, dropping the vampire queen seems like it was probably not supposed to be revealed. It's probably something that the main character goes, "Oh, you're a queen," or something like that. You know, I'm sure.
Shocking.
I know.
Very. I mean, we're really pulling something out of here.
I'm just saying. Probably was a spoiler.
The fact that she's a vampire is not a spoiler, though.
No.
That'll probably be very obvious right off the bat when she shows her face.
Seeing as how she looks like a ghost.
Because she's pale-skinned, obviously. She's just not, you know, low.
Either that or she does not get a lot of sun, which
exactly.
Is probably why vampires
shut
don't
in.
Have.
She was abused by her father and locked in her basement. Why not that?
The ring girl, Sadako, has some very pale skin.
Yeah, she's...
And I don't think she's
locked inside of a whale. That's why. next one is High-Rise Invasion, based on a manga, Tenku Shinpan. They do have a trailer available for this one, being done by Studio Zero G. The unhinged and gory death game manga, High-Rise Invasion, created by Suina Miura, who did Ajin Demihuman. What? Really? This can't. No. I'm suddenly, if this is right, I'm going to be very excited for this. I did not know this.
I can see that. Some of the stuff that at the very beginning of that looked kind of overwhelmingly
crazy. It is.
Crazy.
It's the mangaka for Ajin. Wow. So yeah, that's exciting. So if you liked Ajin, you might like High-Rise Invasion. Created by Suina Miura and Takahiro. This is all Netflix announcements, Chris.
That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot.
And Takahiro Oba, who did Box, finally gets an anime adaptation. High school student Yuri Honjo finds herself lost in an abnormal space where countless skyscrapers are connected by suspension bridges and Masked Fighter mercilessly slaughtered their confused and fleeing victims. To survive this in this hellish world, she will have two choices: kill the masked figures or be killed. Yuri is determined to survive in order to destroy this irrational world, but what will be her ultimate fate? Yeah. A lot of screaming and blood and people jumping off of buildings in the trailer. But you can check it out if that sounds interesting to you. Yeah. Like I said, I was okay on this when I seen the trailer. It's like, oh, okay, just a gory action dumb flick. You know, it looks very High School of the Dead-ish. Looks like there's probably going to be that kind of, if it happens, it happens kind of etchy fan service in it. But, yeah, seeing that they have Suina Miura behind this, it does get me a little more excited for it, because I did really enjoy Ajin, so.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of obnoxiously over-the-top stuff.
Yeah. I wouldn't say obnoxiously, but yeah, sure.
Well, I'm agreeing with you except for that one word. Everywhere. I mean,
I'm agreeing with you everything but that one phrase is all I'm saying, or that one word. So, yeah. Cool stuff. Moving on, we have Thermae Romae. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. This is manga by Mari Yamazaki. Apparently, Netflix announced in this adaptation that they would be using the manga as a base, but also Mari Yamazaki will be writing new stories for the adaptation. The synopsis is Lucius, a bath designer in Roman Empire, accidentally slips back in time to the present-day Japan and learns about Japan's bath culture in this comedy. So, Isekai to the current times. Isekai bathhouse. apparently, this is the one that Naz is producing, because this is the studio that they have listed for this one as Naz, so... That's unfortunate, because I don't know if we're going to get a really good picture of Naz's capabilities in a comedy, but we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. Definitely not the test of strength I was looking for when I was talking about them earlier. You excited for Rome Bathhouse Isekai?
I don't know. I know nothing about that. I think I've heard about it a few times. I've seen a couple
people excited on Twitter about it.
I've heard about it a few times, but it's one of those that's like, so I'm guessing there's some kind of a following for it. Seems like, I mean, I've heard of it, so obviously it has something to it.
So obviously at least one person likes it.
Yeah.
I've heard about it, so obviously somebody likes it. Like I said, it's always like hard to really determine. It's like the whole aspect whenever you see something suddenly be adapted and suddenly your Twitter feed is full of a whole bunch of posts about it, and you're like, holy crap, this must be a really popular source material. And then you suddenly notice that they're all retweeted by the same person. And you're like, never mind, one person really likes it. Let me backtrack my enthusiasm or my expectations there a little bit. Somebody's creating an echo chamber by themselves. The next one they announced was Godzilla Singular Point. This is the anime version that's being done by Bones of the Godzilla franchise. This is going to be following the young geniuses Mei Kanemino, a female researcher, and Yun Arikawa, a male engineer, as they take on the unprecedented threat with their companions. And this is the one that apparently Bones is working alongside. Who was it that was doing the CGI? Orange, that's right, Orange. So, yeah, I mean, the trailer does have me kind of putting aside a lot of my fears of them, you know, purposely going out of their way to say, hey, look, we're working on it with a CGI studio to do an anime, because I kind of trusted Bones that, I did kind of trust Bones was not going to let it get too out of hand with the CGI, and the trailer, like I said, it is available. It does kind of rekindle a lot of hope for that. It does. I mean, it does look like CGI with the kaiju, but it does blend decently well with the anime style. So, I'm looking forward to it. And they even have the whole shocked girl face with the hair floating up thing. There's got to be a phrase for that now.
Mm-hmm.
The shocked girl face with the hair standing up thing. Like the poof up thing.
So, I'm sure.
Did you ever get a chance to go watch the other Godzilla?
No, I didn't.
This is the CGI one. That's really good. The polygon picture one. Moving on, we have Spriggan. This is a anime being done by David Productions. Also going to be on Netflix. The teaser trailer is available for it. Literally, I think, just shows a CGI twirling tablet and then a guy punching the screen. I think he was punching the screen. I think he punched the screen. Yeah. Like some kind of like Ghost in the Shell reject male character punching the screen. Like future body armor looking kind of thing. The manga story is centered around Yu Omanai, I guess, a high school student who is also a Spriggan, an agent charged by the Arcom Corporation to protect the ancient relics of an advanced older civilization from falling into the hands of the states and entities who wish to misuse them. So, yeah. We'll see. Looks all right. Way of the House Husband is getting an adaptation through Netflix, based on a manga by Kosuke Ono, being done by Studio JC staff. The Way of the House Husband follows a retired Yakuza member known as Immortal Tatsu, who is living out his post-crime career as a house husband. He still manages to find his way into trouble from time to time, except it's in the grocery aisle instead of some back alley. Sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Could be silly and goofy and probably get a chuckle or two.
You got to see if he has that Yakuza kind of thing.
Probably. I can almost guarantee you that's going to be a lot of the humor.
It's going to be some other guy grabs the perfectly ripe tomato and
he's going to flip out. Yeah.
Oh, you can have it. Oh, that's fine. Oh, really? Thank you. You know it's going to be that glance and you go, oh no, things are going to go down. And so he just politely says, oh, you can take it. Yeah, thank you. Apparently, Pacific Rim is still happening. So Netflix also talked about Pacific Rim: The Black is set for 2021 release. They released two whole screenshots of it. After all this time of us waiting for something about Pacific Rim, they released two screenshots. Polygon Pictures is the one that's still doing the adaptation of it. The story will follow two siblings and idealistic teenage boy and his naive younger sister, who are forced to pilot an abandoned Jaeger across a hostile landscape in a desperate attempt to find their missing parents. So.
Hmm.
I mean, the screenshots look good. And I think if anybody can pull off a really awesome CGI Pacific Rim, it's definitely, I would trust Polygon Pictures, so. I'm pretty excited for that one. Honestly,
I am actually pretty excited about that.
I think back when the original Pacific Rim came out, I think a lot of people were like, "This needs to be an anime, dude. They need an anime of this." And they're finally getting it. So apparently, Eden's still coming. I think this was supposed to come out like. I think the early talks about early 2020. And then we were talking about it releasing in fall of 2020, and now apparently it's coming out in May 2021, so that's still apparently coming. And they did give a new trailer. I haven't really watched it to see if anything new is in it. Just scanning it, I don't see any new shots. So, not sure what the point of the new trailer is. Yeah, it's literally the same trailer. All those shots look the same.
I'm still super excited about this. I really, really want to watch it.
Yeah, it looks sharp. It definitely looks sharp. I think I like the style of it. It is another CGI, full CGI show, but they do have a really good kind of cel shade look to it. So it's again going to be a 4-episode original, and Cubic Pictures and CGCG is the studios working on it. So. look forward to that next year, unfortunately. And that's it. That's all the Netflix news. A lot of shows they have lined up. Pretty much all of them 2021, probably. I think. Well, we know like three of them are 2021. Then there's like four of them that probably may not have a release time anytime, a release date anytime soon. So, all right, let's get into it. Let's get into this one. The last news. Sony is in final talks on buying Crunchyroll from AT&T. This is according to Nikkei Asia. So we don't really have an official announcement of this or anything. So this is literally just one source is reporting this. They reported that Sony has entered into final negotiations and could end up spending $957 million, equivalent to $957 million. And, for those who don't remember, AT&T had previously talked about selling, or was previously offering Crunchyroll to Sony, and they wanted a whopping $1.5 billion, which they pretty much laughed at. We kind of thought that was kind of one of those things that they didn't really want to sell it, so they just kind of said, well, here's a number, you want to try to buy it? And I guess, again, if this is true, then they came down on it, and there could be talks of this actually being something that Sony is going to go after. So, I didn't really, at first when I seen this news, really, I didn't want to sit here and kind of repeat the same things we went over, but I did get a couple of emails. It's like something like this actually comes up, and it is odd whenever a news piece comes up and you get emails asking for our opinion on it. But a couple of emails from people that really technically haven't been listening to us for a long time, but they do enjoy our podcast, wanting to know our opinions on it. So I think they... I don't remember exactly what we talked about before, so I guess it's technically fine. Just really to hit all my points that I'm thinking of. First and foremost, I don't like it. Not just because of Sony's practices in censoring video games and Funimation, which wasn't influenced by Sony at the time, but Funimation has always been kind of known for doing censorship in anime. You have like when Sony bought Funimation, it made sense. It's like, well, nothing's going to change there because Funimation's already censoring crap anyway, so now Sony is going to be a part of it, so who cares? But at least Crunchyroll was like this one source that was actually not doing that kind of stuff. I mean, they had uncensored stuff on their platform as well. But no, I think my biggest concern really is the monopoly aspect. Once, I mean, yeah, you technically have Netflix over here, you have HiDive over here, you have Amazon over here, but technically right now, yeah, especially right now, 100% of all anime has been picked up by Crunchyroll and Funimation. So there might be a straggler here or there that HiDive picks up and they put on somebody else's, or Sentai Filmworks picks up and puts on somebody else's platform. But for the most part, These are two very big companies that were pretty much buying up everything, and they were kind of splitting the catalog a little bit. Sometimes one would get a little more than the other. I think this current season, Funimation pretty much has most of it, which makes me concerned that Crunchy was already expecting this. it does make me really question that as a possibility. They already knew this was coming. But yeah, I don't like the idea of the one big company having the whole catalog, because then we don't have choice. We have no way to really show our support of one company over the other, to kind of show one side or the other that we more want this than this one. So it does kind of create a monopoly that I think is going to be concerning. There's also the concern that a lot of people have that having Sony buy Crunchyroll is going to take a lot of the licenses away from certain regions that currently really are struggling to get licenses with Funimation already. The only positive really there, the only positive that I see is that it does reduce the amount of subs that you have every month. That's about the only positive I see, but that's not always a good thing. Having one company be the big colossal thing could possibly see more censorship and more gatekeeping.
That gatekeeping is what I was getting ready to say. Is we already have a gatekeeper problem, and it's all in one place, and we already don't like the gatekeeper as it is.
And I think the concerns that I have with the gatekeeping is yeah, it's the them choosing what actually gets localized, because when you kind of absorb these two big companies into one company, the ability for you are taking the two big companies that actually can't afford to buy these titles. And when you look at companies like Sentai Filmworks and High Dive, which is the same company again, specifically Sentai Filmworks, their ability to possibly be a contender to say, well, Crunchyroll and Funimation didn't buy these 10 titles over here, because probably the content was a little bit too spicy. And they go, well, we'll pick those up. And they go over to buy those 10 things, and they're like, well, no. We'll just call them Sony. When Crunchyroll and Funimation become... Funimation's already Sony, and Crunchyroll becomes Sony. It's now... We'll call it Sunnyroll. So now Sunnyroll is the only really big company that has all these anime titles, and they're gatekeeping what comes in because... Well, who's going to contend with them? And they leave these 10 titles out because possibly they were too spicy, or they just didn't think they were that going to be that great. Oh, that looks like another isekai. We don't need to bring that one over here. And then Sentai Filmworks comes over and they're like, well, Sunnyroll didn't want to get these 10 titles. Well, let us buy them. We'll stream it on High Dive. Well, then that company goes, well, no, Sunnyroll gives us this much for all the other shows. You want to pay that much? It's going to be difficult for them to contend. And that's another fear that I have, is that you're going to have this one big company kind of dumping all the money into it, and we're going to be struggling to see if we can find somebody to compete with them. I'm going to want somebody to compete with them. And it is one of those things where I kind of wonder if this does, again, this might not even happen, that if it does happen, that we make sure to watch for those other companies that are going to step in. If High Dive is the one that does that, watch High Dive. If Amazon decides that they want to actually get back into anime, which they haven't really touched anything since Vinland Saga, and I think Vinland Saga was just something they were planning from a long time ago, watch for Vinland Saga, or Vinland Saga, watch for Amazon. Even Netflix, as much as I hate to say it, it's going to be one of those things where we're going to have to watch what these other companies are doing to make sure we support them. Otherwise, I really don't like the idea of it all being in one company, all in one basket, because that's something I really do fear. I understand what Sony's perspective is here. Putting aside the censorship crap, I understand Sony's point they're going here. Sony, what it sounds like, and there's a few rumors that are throwing around with this as well, is what it sounds like is Sony's trying to kind of pick up a catalog for their PlayStation 5 and their services. There's rumors that they're going to actually have, if this deal goes through, they're going to have like your Funimation, Crunchyroll subscription thing be pretty much something you don't need because PlayStation Plus will cover it. So if you have PlayStation Plus with their consoles, you can essentially stream Crunchyroll and Funimation all you want.
Yeah,
it is one of those things that it sounds good. It sounds great. It's just there's the two fears, the monopoly and the gatekeeping, censorship gatekeeping.
Yeah, the $150 billion debt thing didn't ever really kind of sit well with me. And I went and looked at their financial statements. And honestly, Sony is... out of the two of them, AT&T has always been that they're considered one of the aristocrats in the financial realm. So it didn't really make much sense that AT&T would be having financial problems and Sony is, you know, so it didn't really quite make sense. And when I looked at it, yeah, AT&T is on fire. They never go negative. And now Sony did bleed out 2 years ago, I want to say, but they're decently on top of their financials as well. So that one didn't really. When it comes to debt and assets, when it comes to financial big wigs, they don't look at debt and assets the same way that we do. So yeah, they're $150 billion in debt does not bother AT&T in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I mean, yeah, because technically it's not something that's on their hands. From what I understood, it was because they had a lot of companies under them that had debt. It wasn't necessarily that they themselves, you don't go to AT&T's bank account and you see a bunch of a big freaking negative number. Mm-hmm. You would go, okay, well, let's look next door at, you know, AT&T Junior. AT&T Junior has a big debt, but doesn't necessarily mean that over here AT&T Papa has it.
No, the as long as they have something that corresponds with the debt.
Yeah.
So if they have something as
offset
to offset it, then to them, that's copacetic.
Right.
As long as when they're in the boardroom, are you making me money or are you not making me money? Am I paying more to debt than you are paying out to me? That's the way they look at it.
That was kind of how the company I work with was when they were considered a debt company. And that was the case. They were making a fortune, but there was a debt involved with it that they were offsetting. So yeah.
But as far as the gatekeeping, yeah, that is probably my biggest issue. I've pointed out, I have a big disdain for their tendency to not look at us as customers. Instead, they're looking at us as something that they are, huh?
Their children.
Yeah, their children. We are giving you something. You should come begging us. And no. You're going about this the entire wrong way. And that's the tip of my disdain for Funimation/Sony. And so capturing Crunchyroll, which was still, although they have problems, they're nowhere near as far off of the deep end as Sony is, Sony and Funimation. So it is really, really frustrating to see them even try in any way, shape, or form considering this. And that goes back to what I was saying before, that it seems like some of these companies are already in the background kind of jumping ship, per se. That would explain why Retro Crush is coming out of the woodwork. Some of these other things that are happening around, maybe they're seeing the signs that we're now finally getting. Is this still in rumor mill territory, or do we have any actual confirmation?
It's just only one place reporting it. That's why I was very specific on the idea that this is just a single company, a single group that is reporting this.
So it is an interesting thing. I mean, maybe they already knew way down the road that this was possibly coming, and so they were already starting to. I think that we were looking at it as possibly something else, but this happening could very well be the catalyst. Is they're already seeing that Crunchyroll is pretty much done, and that sucks. It really does, because I do see this all falling apart. I really do.
Now I will kind of talk more on the opposite end of this, is that, to be honest, besides, you know, this whole case with them kind of replacing a few heads at Funimation at some point after a few kind of events happened within the company, I do want to acknowledge the fact that technically Funimation has been its own entity. It is not it, because we were talking really early on when they first bought Funimation, was like, oh well, we already knew that Aniplex was a part of Sony. We already knew, and then when Funimation got bought by them, the big concern was like, well, is Funimation going to turn into Aniplex? Is Aniplex going to turn to Funimation? They have still kind of technically remained their own entities, and they're still doing their own thing as they've always done their own things. So there is still a part of me that believes that Sony, despite my issues with them, they have technically allowed these companies to remain their own things. They're not trying to make them absorb each other. And I know that there's a financial reason and there's a business reason for doing that. There is, you know, brand acknowledgement. There is, you know, keeping your assets separate, keeping them in different baskets. The whole assets thing we just talked about with AT&T. It is not as like AT&T wants to sit there and absorb everything and make everything called AT&T. They don't do that. So there's still the idea that technically Sony, even when they buy Funimation or Crunchyroll, if they do, there's still the chance that Crunchyroll just remains its own thing. And that, as much as it's kind of weird to acknowledge this, to allow Crunchyroll and Funimation to still compete with each other, to still remain their own entities. It's a little bit more weird to think that, just because while they don't want to absorb things into each other with, say, Aniplex and Funimation, they're not technically the same thing. Aniplex and Funimation aren't technically the same thing. Whereas Crunchyroll and Funimation are pretty similar things, besides the fact that Funimation is more dub relation, but they still technically both do the same thing. So there is going to be a question if they can still retain that same thought process when it comes to Crunchyroll. But again, there is still the thought that, well, they may want to keep them their own thing just for brand recognition. Because, I mean, most people that don't really look into things like this, say if in 2 weeks this does go through, we'll report it if it does come to light, and they're going to have to announce it at some point if it does go through. And we're going to talk about it, but will most people that are the, I hate Funimation to death, I love Crunchyroll, I will stream Crunchyroll to the day I die, will they ever hear about it? Are they ever going to care about it? That's going to be the question. They might hear that Crunchyroll got by Funimation, but they're not going to know that might hear that Crunchyroll got bought by Sony, but they might not know that Sony owns Funimation, kind of thing. So that brand recognition might be enough that we might see these two companies just stay their own entity. Maybe Sony never touches it. Maybe the only thing Sony is after here is just the catalog to put onto the Sony platform. And they may not care to even touch Crunchyroll. Like, Crunchyroll, do your own thing. I've been involved with companies that have been bought out by another corporation. And you know what they said when they first started? Just keep doing what you're doing. We're here if you need us. Now, that can change over time, especially if things do shift. And that did happen with the company that I work with. But it was the thought process that if you're making money, just keep doing what you're doing. We want access to your catalog. But just keep doing what you're doing. So I just want to give both perspectives. And I think there is a positive to it. But I will say that my worries greatly outweigh my positivity for it. So,
yeah, the way I'm looking at this, and this is something that it is probably an absolute worst case scenario. I do see this as I do see a lot of good things in this. So please don't get me wrong.
More Crunchyroll stuff.
Yeah, dubbed? I see a lot. Yeah, a lot of cross platform. Like when they did their partnership a few years ago.
Yeah, and it was funny role on Crunchy. Yeah, Crunchyroll.
Yeah, that was a really really cool kind of thing that they were doing for a little while, and until they quote unquote broke up. and I do see that in this case, this is a lot of cool stuff involved in this, but at the same time, I see a lot of, and you may want to look at it as a kind of pessimistic view, but I see this as probably one of the worst, absolute worst possible scenarios for, the future of anime. And I hate to say it that way, unless a quote unquote competitor rises up, if it be a new version of what was the one that they tried to do a couple of years ago, the Sunrise tried to build it. We were watching some anime on it for a while. Anyway, unless another streaming platform pops up out of the blue, which we're not really looking at outside of Retro Crush, which Retro Crush is not a current anime platform. I mean, maybe they may do that in the future. Maybe that's why the whole YouTube thing was going on a couple of seasons ago that we were talking about. It's something, there's a lot of stuff happening in the background.
Toei and Toho was doing something like that?
It seems like it.
It was like a big YouTube channel they were making that was going to have other stuff on it.
Right. And unless something happens very soon, if this does actually happen and it goes through, it might seem wonderful for a little while, but just wait until something stupid happens. Some show gets absolutely censored. And I already think that anime viewers as a whole are probably slightly just barely on the tip of just walking away as it is right now. You do something stupid, and I'm warning you guys, Crunchyroll, Sony, Funimation, I'm warning you guys, if you guys don't get this cleaned up very soon, you guys are going to end up in a walk away like you would never believe. People are tired of it, and I'm not joking about that.
Yeah, I don't think people are on the tip. I would disagree with that, but I do see that it's more the fact that it's so easy to see an alternative that. And I think that I believe honestly that these companies, at least Crunchyroll, understands it, that if they push too hard, it's not going to be a sweat off anybody's back, turn around and walk away. They have to continuously keep that trust. It's just when you have another company above them that suddenly the arm gets twisted and there's something you can really do about it. But I do wonder, and I don't know. The laws well enough, but if there's two companies under a parent company, does that technically avoid the even the whisper of a monopoly any kind of threat of a monopoly?
Antitrust won't work in general up until a certain point. I mean, they've tried to do that with AT&T, and AT&T is small compared to Sony.
Because that was my thought process. I think that I know there was some kind of arguments with AT&T involving it, but
I mean, they're
just kind of wonder if the idea that if
they're trying to,
if Sony owns both of them and they allow them to be their own entity and they're competing with each other, that I don't know that necessarily gets around monopoly, because they're technically still a monopoly unless the idea that it doesn't become a problem until that one entity that owns the two of them controls them.
I think that that's the loophole, and that's what frustrates people when it comes to antitrust. And that's why they're having the problems that they're having with like YouTube and Google and all that stuff is they want to break it up, but technically it's several different entities under one banner, which is Alphabet. So it's really difficult for them to actually break it up. Per se,
yeah.
Because you could technically break up Google from Alphabet, and it still is technically Google, which holds a lot of power. So, how do you break up an entity that's already technically too big?
Yeah, that's always been the annoying thing with YouTube. Is it's like, even if you don't like what YouTube does and Google does, it's like. They say it's not a monopoly because, well, there's these other streaming services. Like, yeah, but none of those other streaming services will ever be able to hold the traffic that YouTube does. YouTube had to be created through just brute force of databases being created, where these other companies don't have these huge databases to work with and to grow. And every time somebody says, well, we're leaving for this other company, it's always like, oh, man, this other company's really slow. And it's like, yeah, because you guys are hitting it right now and they don't have like insane huge, you know, 50 million yards of data services. So yeah, doesn't work that way. So, yeah, I guess that's that. We'll wait and see, and as we learn things, we'll let you guys know about it. I mean, either way, if things turn out one way or the other, I mean, my heart goes out to people at Crunchyroll. I hope that you guys are at least see something positive out of this in the end. Hopefully we see something positive from you too. So that's all the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you, that is important to us. So yeah, let's dive into the community. We have some questions from our community members. Again, if you go to tacospur.com, at the top there, there is a contact us button. You can submit questions there. There's also the forums up there. You can click in there, register, talk to some people in our community, as well as post your question in the Anime Cast question thread, or you can just shoot me an email at andrew@tacospur.com, and or just tweet me. I mean, millions of ways to get a hold of us. Like Hideaki Annoying, a.k.a. Otaku Old on Twitter, says, hi, guys. I love listening to the podcast. It's always a pleasure to hear your opinions and reviews on anime, games, manga, and the news. Recently, I've noticed a lot of so-called reviewers getting offended or upset when they don't like a certain show or series. As far as I can recall, even if there is a show that you two dislike or didn't like, you didn't take it personally or let it get to you, or has there. I recall you reviewing Angel Three Piece and liking the story and not the fan service, which is fair, but not liking the drummer girl that kept saying hum every sentence. I was shocked. Just kidding. Also, I'm really fond of absurd short comedies like I, Me, Kill Me Baby, Military, Plastic Nason, and TQ. Have you ever considered doing a show on this genre, or do you have any favorites? Thank you for the great work and all that you do. Take care. Thank you so much. Some kind words. Yeah, we watched Military. I recognize that
one. I remember. I watched that one. I think you watched it, but I don't remember if you actually watched it. I'm not sure. I think you dropped it.
That was very early on. I dropped a lot of stuff.
There is a few shorts that we've watched. We tend to watch them when they come up.
Didn't care for TQ, I don't think.
TQ, I think, was that kind of chaotic humor, which I want to watch TQ because it's got 15 seasons or something like that. So
15 season of 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so obviously somebody likes it. So obviously it's doing something right. But I tend to have a harder time with chaotic humor. So I'm willing to try, but it's one of those, I don't know, but we have watched a lot of them. We usually just catch them in the middle of a season. We'll toss out a quick synopsis and then whether or not we liked it, because it's one of those that, actually think I've watched that one.
Yeah, I think we watched most of these. And I think even with TQ, I think we watched the first season. I think we just dropped it. Because it was one of those ones where, especially with comedies, you kind of really have to be feeling it. And especially with the chaotic ones, if it's something that I'm just not in the mood for at the time, it's going to be something I can easily walk away from. But yeah, I think we've watched pretty much most of these. If anything, we have impressions on them.
Yeah, there's definitely, if you go back through our catalog of reviews, we have a lot of them in there. They're just usually, because there was one that was making fun of an RPG that we technically liked the first season, didn't much care for the second season. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of that one. But yeah, there's a lot of them that we've done over the years. As far as an actual podcast all to itself, I don't think there's enough to actually do that with. And that, I know that sucks, but it really does. Outside of doing it in 15 minutes, I mean, cause most of those 15 minutes is that the entire season of one show. So
yeah, that's really the huge difficulty in a lot of the shorts and us doing reviews and everything on them, because it doesn't end up being very much content to work with. Most of our review podcasts are on the shows that are, you know, literally 300 minutes long. Doing a review on something that is 10 minutes long, you kind of don't want to talk about it for more than about 2 to 3 minutes, because otherwise you're just going to, well, I guess you don't have to watch the show anymore. We pretty much told you everything that happened in all the entire series. Yeah.
Miss Monochrome is a short. I remember that.
But no, we reveal a lot of short comedies. I mean, most shorts are comedies because they're the best thing that actually fits in that format. And the only thing that's really kind of, you know, breaks away from that is those kind of short romance comedies like Mitsuboshi, not Mitsuboshi Kutcher. I just seen Mitsuboshi Kutcher in front of my face. So these are the children.
Yeah.
So.
One Room.
Yeah. One Room is a special thing, though. Mm-hmm. Very special thing. I know we reviewed Military, I just don't, for some reason, I do not see it in our list. But I've seen My Me is on our review list, so I know at least those two.
Yes, we reviewed Military. It would have been way at the beginning of our show, though.
Yeah, but yeah. And I don't think I can search our website for Military because there's a million... Oh, I even did an impressions on the first episode back when I used to do posts on episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh.
Military was nuts.
That was a goofy show. That was a very goofy show. Yeah, Angel Three Piece. It had so much, had a lot of opportunity there. They could have done stuff with, so. Was that the only real question was just doing that? Or was anything else in there?
That was about all I caught as far as a question per se. Oh. Was, would you do one?
Recently I've noticed a Silicon Review. As far as I can recall, even if there is a show that you two didn't like, you didn't take it personally or let it get to you. Or was there? How was there? If you listen to our very early podcasts, I was pretty short with things, but I was never like, I understand what you're saying. Cause I honestly have, I listened to quite a few and I've kind of stopped listening to several of them that do it too much. But yeah, people that just kind of, I mean, not even reviewers, just people in general that just seem to like, anytime this show is mentioned, they feel obligated to inject themselves into it and say, this is terrible. And it's like, just let them be. Just let them enjoy what they enjoy. I mean, it's kind of like the whole idea of, you know, somebody driving by a park and they see a bunch of people having fun and playing basketball. And they just have to get out of their car to walk over and just slap the basketball and say, I hate basketball. That's exactly what you're doing. You got out of the car. You walked into the park, you went around the fence to the fence opening, you walked into the court, you slapped the basketball out of the poor kid's hand, and you said, I don't like basketball. It's a terrible sport. And the kids just stand there staring at you like,
okay, lady.
But I like it. It's a lot of fun. No, it's too simple. It has nothing in it. I mean, it's just without substance. I thought the whole idea of going, no, it's terrible. No way. Because I'm offended by you guys enjoying this. Like, the idea that you guys would enjoy this basketball game, you gotta be idiots. It bothers me that you guys enjoy this. You guys should like baseball.
This is the best analogy ever. I'm just saying.
Baseball's amazing. Like, you kids these days, you guys don't understand. Baseball? That was amazing. Like, that was, like, predated basketball. And it was so much more amazing than basketball.
No. Even worse. They wouldn't even go to baseball because that's not far enough back into the golden age. They want to go back to chess.
Yeah. Checkers and chess. Yeah.
You don't understand the simple intricacies of a move. When you move the knight from this spot to that spot on the board, and the simple dance that the golden age had over these brutish,
it's so deep,
moe,
it's so deep. I mean, yeah, like literally with chess players. I mean, they dress up really good and they look good, like they're.
This is the best analogy ever. I'm sorry.
Sharp. They're clean shade and everything. But then you look at these basketball players and they have like these shorts. They're all sweaty. They all look the same. I mean, chess players are so much more refined looking. It's just everything
garbage
about
Moe, your garbage Moe basketball.
Your Moe basketball players. They're so Moe.
Back in the golden age where Moe hadn't infected
so
every
much
show.
Detail in the chins of the chess players. But no, I honestly, and like I said, I always try to look at everything and from both sides. Like, I understand there's a possibility that when you're not into something and you see people enjoying something that you're not into or you can't get into, I do understand there's an element of feeling left out and you're bothered by it. But I don't think that it necessarily means that you should correct that by trying to slap everybody's hand that is actually enjoying it. Because I think that all that really does just makes you look like the jerk. And I think it is one of those things where even when we don't enjoy a show, like, immensely, like, I've had times where we watch a show together and I just know Chris isn't enjoying it, but it's still, when we go into the review, we want to bring out what is in the show that you could possibly find. You don't care to listen to us say, oh my gosh, this show was just absolute trash and I wanted to vomit while I was watching it. Because then everybody's thinking to themselves, why the hell did you watch it, Andrew? Because that's all I think of when I see those people talk about shows. I was like, well, then stop watching the damn thing. But we've mentioned before, there is an outrage group that just loves to just feed off each other and they enjoy that. And that's what they are entertained by. It's just, it sucks whenever that collides with people that are enjoying things. I don't care that people have fun bashing things. It's just when it collides with those that actually enjoy it.
That's also
when it kind of sucks.
There's also a frustration that it does, like you were saying, that there's an addictive quality to it. And if you start listening to, and I don't have a problem with listening to the please try to understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can't listen to them. You don't understand how many times I've heard how much I'm trying to silence these people. I'm not silencing nobody.
Nobody.
The problem is that when you start listening to that form of negativity, it does tend to build up. And there's an addictive quality to it that once you start listening to it, you want to hear more of it. And I'm not saying that they're wrong for having their opinions. I'm saying that what ends up happening is when you get those kinds of negative thoughts, you will tend to start thinking along those lines, and you'll start to critique rather than appreciate it, for lack of a better term, because I don't know what a quote unquote opposite of critiquing is. I wish there was an opposite to critiquing.
Well, I mean, we slightly personal, we've had times where it's like I've been around people that are extremely negative, people that just find enjoyment out of drama, not necessarily having to do with anime. Just people that enjoy drama, and I've seen how it affects people. It damages people. And I've learned through that experience that in order for me to be around it without feeling like I either have to be a part of it or to be completely depressed by it, I had to force the positivity into it. So when somebody is like, this thing is terrible, don't you see what Timmy's doing? It's terrible. It's like, okay, but Timmy's also doing this. So why don't we support this about Timmy and help Timmy find that is a good thing about himself? Trying to find that positivity in there in order to help people, because that was the only way that I can deal with it. And I think, yeah, I agree with you. It's easy to not do that. It is easy. It is the easier thing to do is to go, yeah, Timmy's terrible, isn't he? Just so that you feel better about yourself and that you can kind of work through the situation without being that person. Like, oh, here's Debbie Downer. He's going to tell us that we shouldn't talk about Timmy. It sucks to be labeled like that, but that is what kind of happens. That addiction, that negativity that people seem to like. That has been my last 2 years of my life as my current job, has been this nasty talking back between each other behind each other's backs. And it just, it's something that I personally have chosen to get away from, which is kind of a more personal thing of my life moving forward, but it sucks. And I think that that aspect is kind of a dark place to go. I guess this is getting like really personal for y'all. And it's just like, it's like Dr. Phil moment here. Andrew and Chris talk to you about your personal life. Are you in the positive? But no, I mean, yeah, I guess we technically have kind of shifted to personal viewpoints, but I think, and that's been something we've been kind of working for in our, again, if you go back to our very early episodes, you're going to find where Andrew's like, oh, well, there's that, what was it, random insert show that Andrew didn't like, and he's like, oh, I just dropped it because it was boring. I don't think I was bad back then. Definitely not offended, personally offended by it. But it's something that we chose to fill a area that wasn't in anime. It was to fill that gap of just positivity. Even if we didn't like a show, just tell you what was in the show that we liked. We don't necessarily have to say it's the greatest show ever. We don't have to lie and say it's the greatest show ever. But we're just telling you what you will find in it. That was different. What was interesting. Even if it's Isekai number 55,000, it was like, yeah, maybe it didn't do anything special, but there was this one thing that wasn't cool that was in it. I mean, that's the thing we've been this last at least 2 years has been the only people that will watch all Isekai shows and tell you that one thing it's doing, possibly just one thing it's doing, that's unique. I mean, even I didn't like, especially the beginning of the From Commonplace to World's Strongest, I still found those little things in there that was actually kind of unique about it. Even if it had terrible first few episodes, definitely terrible first few episodes. And I think it's just finding that positivity, I think, helps people. Finding a positive voice helps people. I think now more than ever, people need positive voices. So even for, I don't want to say for people what people should do with their lives, but I think spreading positivity is a good thing. And I think it changes people. So that's what we kind of focus on. Wow. Did we just take that?
I think we went deep.
Let's go on to, again, thank you, Hideki Annoying, a.k.a. Otaku Old. Appreciate that. Let's move on to XXX Dark Gamer. No, sorry, XXX DRK Gamer Bacon Chips. Cool Guys Supreme Web XXX.
He's not in the dark web no more. He's
this
in the
has
got to
be
web.
Somebody else.
Are you sure?
He had to change his call sign. I
don't know. It sounds like he's adding titles, but it does seem like he's gone even deeper than the deep web.
Insert Thunderstrike sound effect.
He's even got Thunderstrikes now.
He's got sound effects to go with him now. How he injects that into your computer and possibly into this podcast if Andrew remembers to edit inside of a Thunderbolt thing before he exports the podcast. He's that good. It is I, Bacon Chips, here again with an amazing intro to give you to give my question. What's the most scariest thing has ever occurred in your guys' life? It doesn't have to be anime related. Like me, for example, I was driving down the road and a car was heading towards me, so I had to swerve out of the way. I think I had one of those life flashes before your eyes moments. P.S. I've actually read a bit of Sullinan several weeks ago. Awesome. I'm liking it so far so much I bought the physical copy of the book. I just need to sit down and finish it. And they do have an adaptation of Sullinan, a live action movie. Yeah, I think I heard about that one, but glad you're checking that out and you're enjoying it. Easy one for me. I think it was the day I heard that my dad had dementia. That was the scariest probably I've ever been in my entire life because I didn't know what to do. I was just the time giving him my 2 weeks notice and moving across country when I got the call. And it basically took our entire lives and threw it upside down. So, and it was literally the scariest last 2 years of our life. So, yeah, that would be mine. I'm easy, technically, I guess.
I can't. I'm sure I've had other ones before then, but no, I actually can think of it. It usually is car things. So yeah,
car things.
I was driving down Dixie Highway, for anybody who knows Kentucky at all. I was driving down to Dixie Highway.
In your car that does the whole jump
mountain? No, actually, this was the Neon.
He had a car back when he's in Kentucky when I visited him when I was, like, I think it was in junior high school back then. Yeah, you were
in high school.
Took a Greyhound bus down to Kentucky just to see him, and, yeah, bouncing around in his car was great. He had, like, these huge springs.
But yeah, I was driving down Dixie Highway and it was the middle of winter and it was blizzardy-ish and did not stop properly. Let's just say that, because somebody was trying to speed past me. I was trying to speed past him faster because I was hopped up on testosterone and I was the biggest, baddest person in Kentucky at the time, I'm sure, and realized that I was going a little too fast to be able to stop behind somebody, and I ran behind them. The other time was more recently. The rain was kicking in pretty strongly, and I hit a pothole that I did not see, and swerved really, really crazy. And this one is burned into my head because it's more recently. And I worked very hard to gain control over the car, which was not easy to do on a wet road. But yeah, I fishtailed, tapped the back of my car. And this all happened in just last year, just before this year began. So it was around the same time that our father had passed away. So yeah, it was very scary.
Yeah, I think when you called that last night before his passing, that was literally the longest 10 hours of my life driving down here from Muscatine. No, car related. I think driving back from California, what was it, this last year? I think it was the previous year. I hit New Mexico and seen snowflakes, and out of nowhere, it just turned like pure white. And I think it was a good at least foot of snow, and that was the first time I've ever driven in snow. So I'm literally driving cross country, going through New Mexico, driving through snow for the first time in my entire life. Literally could not see where the road started and the road ended. I was just hoping I was going the right direction. Yeah, like, you can't even see guardrails. You don't even know where the exits are. You don't even know if you should exit because you might not get out.
That's one of those
scary. And then your windshield freezes and you have to get off the road and you don't want to go off the curb because you don't know if it's a cliff. And so you find a place that looks like an exit and then you get to the top of it and you coast because you know you can't brake. And you brake at 5 miles an hour, but you still slide for 15 feet. Amazing.
I actually had in that springy car that Andrew was mentioning a few minutes ago.
The trampoline car.
It was the dead in the middle of winter. Something about Kentucky and winters for me is not a good mix, so I try to stay away from Kentucky in winter. But I had ran out of brake fluid, and I was coming down a hill, and at the bottom of the hill there was a stop sign or something like that. And so I came down the hill, I tried to stop, and lo and behold, I had no brake fluid. And so I just kind of kept going. And so my automatic reaction is to slam it into park. That's not what you do in a car. If you ever wonder, if you haven't driven yet and you're wondering, or if you have drove and you've never had this situation, do not slam it into park. It's not going to do nothing. I had to turn off the car, and that gave it enough to stop it, per se. And then eventually it kind of stopped. So that was safe. It's scary because I would have went over that cliff.
It's funny because I only had like one brief, because I'm a really careful driver. And so I don't really have too many experiences. Like all my experiences with like near accidents is always like me seeing something that I'm like, well, I'm glad I stopped because that dude didn't. It's always been my life. Like literally I'm not the person that honks at somebody that cuts somebody off. I'm the one that goes, okay, yeah, you just cut me off. I really don't feel the need to, like, this is me too in real life, is like when somebody cuts me off, I just don't, I'm like, whatever. I'm not the person that's like, oh my gosh, I need to honk and chase after that person. Again, I know either they didn't see me or they don't care. So what's the point? That's literally my mindset. Is like, if I honk and the dude has a gun, I just escalated it and I'm dead. And I guess I got my point across. But no, it's like, the only time in my life where I was really dumb driving was like this brief period of time before we moved away from California when I was like just fresh out of high school. And I literally was street racing inside of a 96 Saturn with a custom overhead air intake and loud muffler and cool glowy dash lights and stuff. And even then, like, I was still safe driver. Like, the only time I've ever, like, had, like, a really screw-up moment was I had a bunch of friends in my car, and we're coming down this downhill off-ramp into this light, and literally, I'm getting distracted by, like, three people in my car, and then suddenly one of them says, it's red, and I look forward, and I see red, and I slam on the brakes, and this 96 Saturn sports coupe sliding for, like, I think I locked the tires for a good, I don't know, 20 feet. And I went into the intersection like a good 10 feet. And there's like two cars at the intersections looking at us. And I'm just finally come to a halt. And the passenger's like, I can't believe you kept the car straight. And I'm like, I don't know what just happened. And I just like put it in reverse and kind of slowly back up. And the cars start going. Like, wow. I'm glad it was just turning red, because otherwise somebody would have slammed into us.
When I had in high school, I had a Camaro, and that was probably not
the worst thing to have.
The worst thing that you could give a 16-year-old is a muscle car. It's just not a good idea. If you have that in your house, don't do it.
I was in a sports coupe Saturn. Yeah.
I promise you, I think every corner in Bakersfield at the time had my tires permanently embedded in every corner, because I was constantly exhibiting the speed of my car.
Exhibiting the speed of my car.
I finally did. I was pulling out of our high school at one point, and I did that and came around to the stoplight, because you come out of the high school's out getting out of the parking lot, and you go right up to a stoplight, and of course people in front of me are all doing the exact same thing, and I'm like, well, I can't, I've got a Camaro, I can't let this slide. And so I of course do it 10 times better than everybody else and get up to the stoplight, and there's a police car right there. So I happily paid a fine. He should have at least given me credit for such an awesome takeoff. I mean,
what can I say? The only time I ever gotten a ticket in my entire life was in Bakersfield. I don't like the highway patrol down there.
I got probably three, two times for going right through stoplights or stop signs. Me and stoplights did not work together well. And then the one for exhibiting the power of my car.
And it was a chips too. Motorcycle cop.
It was a California. I never actually got
it. Was a California Highway Patrolman motorcycle cop. It was literally out of chips. I was probably in one of their episodes. Wee 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 wee. Oh, I think that's it. I don't know. Maybe we can fit this other one in there. Takusama says, "Hey there, Chris and Andrew. How goes it? I hope everyone is doing well, and thanks for providing an amazing podcast. That's all I can hear. Amazing podcast that all can hear. I know the both of you have mentioned sometime mobile games that you play, like Fate Grand Order and Crossing Void, but have you heard of Honkai Impact or Epic 7? If so, what do you think about them?" Yes, Honkai Impact is technically the predecessor of Genshin Impact, which we play to death right now. I tried Honkai Impact, did not like it, but I typically don't like mobile games that require virtual joysticks, and I think that was one of them.
Yeah,
when Epic 7, I didn't even want to touch with a 5-foot pole because it looked like gacha hell. And I already have enough gacha hells. If I'm going to get into a gacha game, it's got to be a game that either has characters in it that I like, or the gameplay's got to be really amazing. And I just don't know anything in Epic 7, so I never touched it.
Yeah, when I went and looked at both of those, they didn't look like the type of game that I would be interested in. I think the Honkai, like you were saying, it's the predecessor to Genshin Impact, and that's what it looked like, is it was a play on the phone type thing, and that...
God, they were advertising like mad when Honkai Impact first came out.
And was Epic 7 or the other one, was that the one that was a side-scroller looking?
Yeah, it's kind of like the sprite details of Fate Grand Order, but it's got like that look of something like the Danmachi game, where it's got the characters and they go forward and they attack. The thing that always drew me to Epic 7, though, was that the animations for like their specials looked amazing. They put a lot of effort into like these really cool animated little super attacks. That was pretty much the only thing that really kind of drew me to want to play it, actually.
Well, like I said, I think that Genshin Impact, especially if I'm going to suspect is going to be cross-play onto the Switch, mostly because the way they worded it on the reason why it wasn't cross-play with the PlayStation, because it sounds like they wanted it to be.
Well, Sony has never played nice with
cross-play. Yeah, that's why they worded it in such a way that implied that it was something Sony was doing that made it to where they were not able to cross-platform, even though it sounds like they wanted to. So
but that implies the reason why I think, and this is probably the reason, just from, I guess, an educated guess is what I would put it as, is, okay, so Sony... they come to Sony and say, hey, we want to put this game onto your platform, but it has in-game transactions. Well, Sony's like, okay, that's fine. They're just going to have to link their account to it, because they're going to have to buy the roles on the PlayStation Network. Well, what does that do? That does not allow them to link it to their servers. So I want to say that it's technically Sony's fault, but you also have to think about the fact that, well, it's also because Sony wants you to link your account so that you're paying through their services, and so they get a cut of it. So it's not, I don't think it's an entirely, but at the same time, Apple does it, and Apple makes you pay through their store, so that might be a moot point, but I think it might just be protections that Sony wanted to put into effect by forcing it to go through their network. But no, that is pretty much the biggest argument that people are making right now, that supports the idea that Switch will be crossplay with the PC and the mobile, which is great, because I think that's one of those kind of selling points to Genshin Impact right now, is the fact that you can play it like anywhere on different platforms. And I think that's a huge selling point, especially if it goes to Switch as well, because then you actually have good controls. Yeah. Even though, yeah, technically I can get a Bluetooth controller for my phone, but I just really don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to do that. Might end up having to do that. If they don't do cross-play with Switch, I'll end up doing that, though. I might have to start looking, which will suck. Otaku-sama says, if you have time, I also wanted to say that I remember the discussion about if the both of you should start the Fairy Cast back up. I recently just watched the whole series, and I think you should definitely do the Fairy Cast. We technically never put it down. We did get tied up in a lot of stuff. I think I've posted all the recent recordings we've done, which we just finished. Which arc? It was the one with the big, huge floating Hades demon arc? Castle. I didn't want to call it Hades arc, but Fairy Tale arcs. We're close, right?
Yeah, we're like nearly at the end.
Yeah, literally, we're going into Fairy Tale Zero next. That's how far we are. I guess it's the easy way to put it. It's not really what arc we just finished, but what arc we're going into. We do know we're going into Fairy Tale Zero, which is the whole backstory stuff. So,
no, Tenro is old.
Tartarus. Because Avatar arc is. Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it's Tartarus. We finished Tartarus arc, so yeah, makes sense. I thought the next arc was called Fairy Tale Zero. I don't know.
Well, Fairy Tale Zero is technically a spinoff.
Is it?
Yep. It's a prequel spinoff.
That's right, because it was his own manga.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they wouldn't put it in here. Well, because they put it at the beginning of this thing. Yeah. Because this thing that I'm looking at right now has Zero as the very first arc. Because it's back in the past. Spoiler. yeah. But yeah, we're still doing it. I think I've posted all of the current fairy cast that we've done. But no, it's not a thing of, nope, I still have one to post because this is the going through the Sun Village arc. So I have one to post still. I literally just finally posted the Gundam NT review that we've been sitting on for like 3 weeks now. So bad at doing midweek posts. So yeah, that's it. Thanks, Takasama, and that guy that shall not be named that's from the dark web, because if we name his name, then we might get another Thunderstrike sound effect inserted in here, if Andrew remembers to insert a sound effect in here. Hideaki Annoying, or a.k.a. Otaku Old, thanks for the questions for the podcast, sending those in so that we have content to give you guys and ask some great questions. But yeah, really interesting news discussion. Interesting questions from our community members. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, definitely let us know. Let us know what you think about some of these news pieces, what you think about the whole Sony buying the possibility of Sony buying Crunchyroll. And think of Kimaguri Orange Road showing up on Retro Crush. Are you watching on Retro Crush? Are you guys supporting Retro Crush? Let us know. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff this week. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed. Again, we're at TakuSpirit.com. That's where you can go find for all of our anime, new and old, great community, the forum links, top social media links, the right side, and all that good stuff. And we hope you all enjoyed, and you all take care.
Os.